Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah!
Hi everyone, welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your host, Wesley. With me as always, Rabbit and the Bagman. It's been so long. It's been over a year. How's it going, fellas?
Yeah, Wesley, good to be back.
And Bagman, it's been so long.
Yes, there's rust coming out of my voice as we speak.
It's been a little while since we've done a podcast, so we're pretty excited.
Thanks for hanging tough, everyone.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging tough. We're back, and we're going to be back.
And especially after that fairy tale Cleveland ending to the finals. But I don't want to talk about the positive stuff straight away. Rabbit, I just want to ask you, because we didn't get to do the FCP Awards at the end of the season, which is like my favorite thing to do. So can I ask you, just out of the blue, who's your douche of last season, like a.k.a. the Paul Pierce Award? Can I throw that at you first thing in the first podcast back?
Straight off the cuff. Can it be Full Court Press podcast for not doing any podcast at all last season?
Totally. Is that allowed? Totally.
Yeah. Well, it could be that, or it could be, this is like a bit sacrilege, but it's got to be Draymond Green, doesn't it?
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking.
What about?
How could it not be?
Well, I was thinking more, I had a little thought about it. I was thinking Blake Griffin for, punching, trainer, and then getting hurt, and then that last game against Portland when he got injured, and then CP3 broke his hand, and then DeAndre Jordan twisted his ankle, and then the eye to the hit with Doc's son.
Yeah, it's not really that douchey, though.
Yeah, I love that you take offense to people getting injured. You take it personally, like, what a dick, he got injured again.
I think they're mates again, the trainer, aren't they? Him and the trainer, they're cool again, Blake and the trainer, they're fine.
I don't know, I feel like that started this kind of snowball of destruction for the Clippers, and like that last game was a real statement of how their season went in a way.
It's
I see your point, but it's got to be Draymond. Come on.
And why do you say that?
Well, I think why wouldn't you say that? He's kicking people in the balls. He lost the final for us. And the irony is, he had like his greatest game of all time, Game 7, and they couldn't win. So the irony is just delicious. He lost. It was Game 4. Didn't need to do it. We're up 3-1.
Yeah,
it's going to be taken care of in Game 5 back in Golden State, yet he goes and does that nut shot on LeBriz with like 2 minutes to go. Douchey. I'm not saying that's the only reason, but it's a different series if he's not suspended for Game 5. It's over.
And he bestowed that dick pic on us as well. He's got a fucking chat dick. It's all stumpy and dry and gross.
I couldn't bring myself to look at it.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
The Olympics,
Fuck off, you didn't look at it.
You didn't look at it, Josh?
Oh, sure.
My thing's chess, but it's good to know yours are weird dicks. Bag, was there anything out of last season that you wanted to highlight really quickly before we move on to the 2016-17 season?
Not overly. I'm pumped on the Blazers. I predicted them to sort of come second last in the West, and they were fucking awesome. So
yeah,
that was my highlight. It's a great season.
And how about those Suns? All right, so this podcast we're going to talk about Boston, New York, and the 76ers. So we're not going to bore you and talk about every single team in each division. We're just going to highlight about three or four teams over a three-part podcast, which will be all about the preseason, and hopefully we'll get them all done before the season actually kicks off. So let's get first into Boston. They finished fifth in the East. Bagman, you want to start this one off for us?
Yeah, well, I'm going right out there. I think they're the second best team in the East for sure, and they're going to be playing in the conference finals against Cleveland.
That's huge.
Does anyone want to go against me on that?
I can't disagree with you.
They're better than Toronto.
Yep.
On paper, for sure. They're way more balanced than Toronto, hey?
Okay.
Doesn't everyone love Al Horford as a Celtic? Hard not to.
Yeah.
All he does is win, apparently. He won in college. He's won in Atlanta pretty much the whole time he's been there. Mm. All he does is win.
And that
his
was
team's about as talented as last, you know, the team that went to the conference finals 2 years ago in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I still think they're a player away, though. I don't think they can beat Cleveland in the East. Well, they've got to think about it, though. They've got a stack of assets still. They've got all the Brooklyn picks still. They're just building nicely. It's kind of how you want to rebuild a contender to go. They've drafted well. They've done great trades. They've added nice pieces. They're just one more player away, I think. They need a go-to scorer.
Or maybe a six-man of the year. You know, like a six-man off the bench.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Paul Pierce is retiring there next season, so maybe he's a missing link.
I did hear that.
He's going to sign a one-day contract. It's just a total symbolic gesture. But, yeah, he owes it to the fans and to himself to retire in Boston.
Paul Pierce announced he will sign with the Boston Celtics next summer and then retire so that he can go out as a member of his championship team. Oh, should have probably called it at the end of this year.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that one-day contract thing. It's like, what does it fucking matter?
Yeah.
You're going to get your jersey retired up there. What is having a one-day contract going, I retired a Celtic? You retired a Celtic 3-4 years ago or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's so over. I don't see the point.
Rabbit, you're talking about they're one player away, and we got Amir Johnson starting as power forward.
Yeah, he's not getting it done for you.
Nah. You got Thomas, Bradley, Jay Crowder, Amir Johnson, Al Horford. You're starting five. Marcus Smart coming off the bench with Kelly Olynyk. This is a very American team, too. I think Olynyk's the only Canadian. There's one other non-American, and then everyone else is born in the USA. But, yeah, I think maybe your power forward spot.
They're not going to close games like that, though, right? Like, they like doing that three-guard thing with Smart and Bradley. They'll have Crowder playing power forward and Horford. That's money. And
wasn't the rookie they drafted a power forward?
Yeah, he's like 6'7". He can be able to guard threes and fours, but he's going to be a bit of an
He's like a Crowder, pretty much, the same mold as Crowder. He's super athletic, doesn't have a jumper. Crowder's developed a jumper, so I guess he might take him under his wing. But he's going to be super raw, and I don't think you want to rely on him much. But he'll get some minutes for sure. They should make a trade. They still have a lot of room to add. So, you know, they're contending, and you got to be happy with where they're sitting right now. One more piece away. I think that it's awesome. And definitely I agree with Bag, second in the East.
I don't see anyone who could guard DeMar DeRozan on the starting five. I reckon...
Dude,
Smart.
Bradley and Smart.
Fair enough. Great defensive players.
Yeah.
I still feel like Toronto are going to get ahead of them, but it's neither here nor there. Anything else about any trades? So we didn't really come out and say it. We should probably do that, but we had Al Horford get traded, and that was pretty much it for them, and they let Jared Sullinger go to Toronto. That's about it.
Evan Turner as well. So Evan Turner's like your first wing off the bench sort of thing, but they got Gerald Green, who's like a totally different player, of course, but... I think they're sort of like they're 10 deep now because Jerebko is in the mix as well. So I don't think you really want for anything. So yeah, definitely you just need like a slight talent upgrade, probably at the wing and then you're right in the mix of like the very best teams in the league.
Huge.
Yeah, I think remember like in that Atlanta series, it just seemed like they just came up short when they needed like someone else to score down the stretch. Like it was just became apparent that they didn't have that go-to guy when they needed a bucket and you're relying on Isaiah to sort of dribble, pull up and kind of play a little bit of hero ball at the end. I think Horford obviously can get you buckets down there on the low block. Maybe he's the missing link. I'm not sure. I know Davo will tell us that he is. So we'll have to see what happens with Boston, but I don't know. I'm still going to stick to my guns, play a shot.
Watch but remember, space, remember, yeah. remember last in that season, that series against Atlanta, they took him to six games. Bradley didn't play. Bradley only played one game. They didn't have a Olynyk pretty much either. So they had no bigs. Crowder was coming off the injury and he played like dog shit that whole time. And they still pushed Atlanta to six games.
So, yeah, but I mean, really, are you getting points? Are you getting buckets from Bradley if he's on the court or not?
Yeah, he's like a 20-ish a game scorer. That's sort of like his main role. He's like their best spot-up shooter as well.
It could happen, but you don't see them getting past Cleveland, though.
Fuck no. Definitely not. Like, no one's getting through LeBron. But the way I see it, like, I've got sort of like a fantasy trade ironed out, which I reckon will get them over the top, which could actually happen. You know, Brad Stevens is Gordon Hayward's old coach. And Zach Lowe was sort of like hinting at it. He's white as fuck, so he would belong in Boston for sure. he's a free agent at the end of the season. Ooh. I'm thinking, like, if you move, maybe, like, in a year, if you move, like, Isaiah, this Jaylen Brown, and maybe, like, a draft pick, and swap him for Gordon Hayward and George Hill, you would have, like, a pretty fucking dynamite team right there.
That's not bad.
I just think Isaiah would be, like, just the best sixth man ever. I know that's a bit offensive to say about an all-star player, but I don't think you can win a title with Isaiah Thomas as your starting point.
Or as you go-to.
Traded from Phoenix February 15th for nothing. He's getting paid about $6.5 million. Avery Bradley's getting paid about $8.2 million. Jay Crowder, $6.2 million. Amir Johnson's getting paid $12 million this season. Al Horford, $26.5. I think the Amir Johnson factor... it needs to be removed. Can you believe that starting five is getting paid that? We had Jarris Smith get paid $54 million for 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, just today, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And you got your starting point guard for Boston at $6.5 million. That's crazy.
What did J.R. Smith – did you guys hear his that quote today? J.R. Smith dropped after he got his his contract? I love my favorite. My spirit animal is a dolphin. I love how majestic they are. I'm a dolphin.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I fucking love J.R. Smith. He's
great. Some good PCP in the off season to celebrate.
He's epic.
All right. Well, I think that's about it for Boston. We're gonna move on to probably the most controversial team in the offseason, thanks to one particular player, but we're going to talk about the New York Knicks now. First of all, trades. Bagman, you want to say what happened? Because it's pretty huge. I mean, I don't know if you've played 2K17 lately, but it's blowing my fucking mind.
Yeah, I agree. It's my whole life right now. it's like incomings and outgoings, right? Like, so you've got Noah and Derrick Rose and Brandon Jennings and Courtney Lee coming in. That's the big deal. Robin Lopez, Calderon, et cetera. Give a fuck.
Joakim.
Yeah.
So your starting five is D. Rose, Courtney Lee, Carmelo Anthony, Porzingis, and Joakim Noah with Brandon Jennings.
You can't start Noah. Surely not.
Why not?
Oh, he's a fucking shell of himself.
Whoa, he was injured a year and a half ago. Don't be so harsh.
It's all names. There's not... all names, no game. That's what
You don't believe in Joakim?
Nope.
Still, why? It was like 3 years ago. He was like top five MVP.
Mm.
Exactly. 3 years ago. What's he done in the last 3 years? Been injured.
And he got fucking demoted to the bench last year for Hoiberg. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Why would they want to pay him $17 million to go there if he wasn't going to be able to play, start, and kick some ass?
Because I'm more of a fan of Porzingis at the five with Melo at the four.
No, you got to let Porzingis run free. Like, how did you describe him when you saw him at the Garden? Like an elk?
Like a gazelle.
Yeah, gazelle.
A giant gazelle.
You got to let him run. Let Noah play defense.
Yeah, eventually. But I've got no problem with him starting next to Noah for like, you know, 6-8 minute stretches of a couple of quarters. Let him do all the dirty work. And like, yeah, I can't believe you're off Noah, facilitating in the high post, playing epic D, like teaching Porzingis like how to play team defense, teaching Melo how to fucking play team defense.
I just think there's a lot of hype with a not much substance. I think they're an injury away from it all blowing up, from it all going pear shaped. And once that happens, one dude out of those four, and their bench is awful. They've got no depth. I just can't see them. I mean, what are we talking about? Like, what's successful here? To win more than 20 games? To make the playoffs? What are we talking about? Because I don't think you're getting to the playoffs with that team.
Well, they finished 13th in the East last year. And when you compare it to the 15th place team, 76ers, their roster looks pretty damn impressive. Who do they have to beat to make it into the top eight?
Detroit, Washington, Chicago, Charlotte.
Indiana.
I was super pumped on it. And then when I like thought about it really hard, I don't think they'll make the playoffs either.
Whoa.
Just because of the depth. And you're right. They're an injury prone team and they can't afford a single injury basically.
Well, what shooting's an issue? Like Courtney Lee's their best 3-point shooter?
No.
No. Porzingis is raining triples all over the place.
So is Melo.
Melo can shoot also. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
33%. Porzingis shoots 30%.
That was last season.
That was last year.
Okay, so what's happened? Have you been watching Porzingis jacking?
Dude, he's Eastern European. He's doing nothing but training every day, all the time. He'll be much better this season.
He hit 4.25. Didn't you see that thing I sent you? He was just raining him all over everybody.
Yeah, I'm just going on stats, baby, and I'm seeing the stats, and their best shooter is Courtney Lee, and that's concerning to me.
I can't believe you think Lee is a better shooter than Carmelo Anthony.
He is. It's stats. Look it up.
Okay, cool.
I'm not making it up.
So there's a shooting contest. You're going to go Lee over Anthony.
From three in games.
I was a betting man. 100%. Look, also, though, there's also the whole Phil Jackson shadow triangle thing hanging over these guys.
And the new coach, Phoenix Suns.
Well, yeah, honest access. So he likes fast-paced. He likes to push the ball. How's that going to mesh with Phil pushing the triangle? So all the talk around New York's been like, yeah, we're going to run the ball. We're going to push. The triangle's there. We're going to play that in elements. It's like, well, what is it? Because that's a big, like, paradox there. You can't push and play loose, free ball, quick shots versus playing the triangle where everyone's got to get looks. Everyone's got to react to the defense properly. It's a lot slower. It's more half court.
You can't do that in semi-transition or transition. Yeah, and then when you're playing half court, you can play triangle?
Well, I that's what they're saying. I just don't believe it. Melo's had a season around the triangle with Fisher and Rambis coaching him. I didn't see much triangle last year. You're throwing Noah and Rose into it. That's one good thing about Noah. Noah could probably play the triangle well. I'll give you that. Because he does pass out of the high block. Courtney Lee, Derek Rose, Brandon Jennings, Porzingis, are those guys all triangle friendly? I don't know. What happens if Melo goes like away from it and just starts jacking shots and trying to get his like 30-40 a game? I just think there's a lot of questions, more questions than good answers with the Knicks. And I'm not buying into the hype.
I don't see the issue if you've got three guys who can shoot, we've clarified that, and you've got Derrick Rose, who loves getting to the bucket, and Noah, who likes offensive rebounds and facilitating out of the high post. Like, the geometry of everything seems pretty right. And if they just got to use Porzingis better than they used him last year, an actual pick and pops, then that starting five, I think, has a chance to be like pretty good.
He's 7'3". Think about that.
He can shoot over anyone.
I'm hopeful for them. I'm just being realistic where I don't see it. I don't see Rose and Noah being able to be the same guys they were 3 years ago. You've seen Rose. He's been on a decline for the last three seasons. I just don't see them executing the triangle, or I don't see Hornacek being able to mesh his game into the culture with Phil Jackson. I just don't see it. I think there's too many what-ifs, and I think it all go to shit very quickly. But that said, what was the answer before? Like, okay, if they make the playoffs in the East, it's kind of a victory. Then what happens? You know, do you pay Derrick Rose again next season? I really felt like they should have traded Carmelo either last season or even in the off season, and then build this team around Porzingis.
Doesn't he have a no trade clause?
Yeah, he has to approve it, obviously. But they could have tried. They could have made some.
I think they already did try to get him to go to Chicago, and he didn't want to do it.
I just think like they're in a win now mode, but it's not enough to win and get them very far. And then you're kind of in a conundrum with Carmelo aging, but you want to build around Porzingis. You know, he's kind of, in a sense, they're kind of hamstrung. So they've made these moves, which look good on paper, Rose and Noah, but I just don't see it.
Are they going to finish higher than the 76ers? Probably.
Okay, I'll agree with you there.
Higher than Miami this year? Probably.
Yep.
Higher than Orlando this year? Probably.
It'll be, splitting hairs.
Brooklyn? Higher than Brooklyn? Yeah.
Everyone's going to be higher than Brooklyn, dude. The three of us will be better than...
Now they're a big rival, the Bucks.
The Bucks are going to stink so bad this year.
Okay, anyone else?
Now, the key ones are Chicago, Detroit, Washington, that sort of thing. These are the teams that are going to try and be sneaking into the bottom two spots. That's when you start thinking, like, going, are they better than Detroit? Probably not. Chicago, question mark. Washington, fuck knows what they're going to do, but, like, I don't know, they've got a bit more continuity there.
Well, let's say they finish higher than Washington. So now we're at the ninth. Is there any other team in there that could possibly...
Maybe Indiana, because I got Indiana sort of sneaking in at the eighth spot.
Indiana are going good this year. I reckon they're going to be at 10. All right, anyways.
Yeah.
One kind of huge factor, which is, we'll call it the Trump factor, is Derrick Rose isn't starting. Rabbit, do you want to talk about, you want to give the backstory of what's going on here?
Well, I mean, everyone's obviously aware that he's been accused of raping his ex-girlfriend with his buddies. How long is the trial go for, do you know?
Well, Nelly got called because the woman that's accused him has been like, their team's been withholding these crucial texts and stuff, and it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good for the woman.
It smells like a shakedown. It really does.
You know what happened, right?
No, bring it.
This woman and her buddy, Derrick Rose's ex-girlfriend, went over to his house like in the afternoon, had a pool party. She fucked one of his mates, and this other girl that she brought with her. She brought her over so Derek could like get fingers deep in her and whatever, and he wasn't into it. So they left, and she was sending Derek Rose texts going, "Why didn't you fuck my friend?" One of the texts that got withheld. And then she went home and was like, "Oh yeah, I'm horny, I miss you, blah blah blah." And then
I heard that
tag team her with some of his buddies, and
was down. She seemed to be down.
Well, that last bit is a bit full on though. Like that's where it gets a bit weird.
You know where it gets really weird is that why would you want two of your buddies to have sex with your ex-girlfriend with you?
Totally.
Why would you rape your ex-girlfriend?
Don't you think, like, I love you guys. Like, you guys are great guys, but no way do I want to be in the same room as you while I'm having sex ever in my life.
No.
Oh, no.
Never, ever.
I don't want to see your O-face. That's the worst thing ever.
No, not at all.
Disgusting.
But Derek, yeah. That's his jam.
Yeah, we're not ballers, though. You know, they're used to it. Look at PG and the boys. You know, PG and Lance were taking down puss like left, right, and center, all those brothels.
No wonder Derek Rose's vision was all fucked up last year. He's been taking loads in the eye. It's terrifying. That's why he wears that mask, to protect himself from all the jeers.
From his buddy's loads coming at him.
Yeah, it's coming in hot. Three-on-one drills.
The Edge's podcast.
And then now all the media is covering it, and so all the pressure is off kind of Porzingis and Carmelo, and everything about the Knicks has been about Derrick Rose lately. I think the latest headline I saw was the detective from the LAPD that's investigating the crime has now, he killed himself through a self-inflicted gunshot wound, which I'm sure has nothing to do with the case or anything like that, but it makes it even more heavy.
To the chest.
And it's a really interesting time right now because we got Mr. Trump doing his thing and being all crazy, and the whole world's crazy at the moment. And so he got in trouble for talking about how he sexually harasses women. And I thought this would be an interesting time to talk about what LeBron said back to that. So, well, everyone in the whole world should know what the fuck's going on, right? We don't need to break down what the Trump thing, do we?
No, go on.
Yeah, he said he grabbed a chick's pussy on the bus. And then he said that was locker room talk. Locker room talk. And so LeBron said, that's not locker room talk. That's trash talk. We don't disrespect women in no shape or fashion in our locker room. That never comes up. What goes on in the locker room is sporting events that happen the night before, about family, about strategies, the way we have the night, about the highlights that made it happen. If it was a home run in the bottom of the ninth, or it was an alley-oop dunk from the player the night before, that's what's happening in our locker room. All right, so fair enough. You don't talk about objectifying women and whatnot in the locker room, but you can't tell me if Lou Williams has two fucking girlfriends and D'Angelo Russell, you know, is recording Swaggy P talking about cheating on his wife, that these guys aren't talking about women in the bus or in their hotel or on long flights, and all they talk about is sports and family. I just think it's a bit ridiculous.
Dude, J.L. Smith was like famously caught sending a text to some girl saying, "You're trying to get the pipe." And you reckon, he rocked up to practice the next day and they were like, "Hey man, did you watch The Bachelorette last night or anything?" No fucking way. Everyone's hitting him up about it, for sure.
Of course.
As if they don't.
Mm.
What's your point, though, Wes? Are you defending Trump? What are you saying there?
No, I'm not defending Trump at all. I'm just saying, like, LeBron kind of using this example, does this talk about, we don't talk about women in no shape or fashion.
Yeah. Well, he's a married man, and he's the most corporate dude in the world. Of course he's always got the right answer. Of course people are going to say that, but he's saying the right thing. I mean, of course there's banter, but like, I don't know anyone who's like saying the shit Trump says. Like, who the fuck says that? It's gross. But I see your point. It's a gray area for sure. You got to be naive if you don't think guys in a locker room will talk a bit of shit about everything, life, girls, everything.
You can boil it down to just like bragging about having sex. You know, like that's what LeBron's sort of, that's what LeBron's speech is sort of like, oh, we didn't talk about that at all. But there's no way, like,
I would have no doubt that LeBron's hitting up Tristan Thompson going like, you hooking up a Kardashian, dog? What's up with that? As if he's not talking about that. But I don't think he's talking about if he grabbed her or he fisted her or something like that. You know what I mean? Exactly.
Yeah,
totally. But LeBron also, did you hear that story about how LeBron, you know, he took that 2-week sabbatical last year, and apparently while he was away, the guys were like, it was like the teacher being out of the room, and they like trashed the locker room and leave all their shit around, and LeBron came back. And he had to pick up everyone's dirty laundry, and he was really upset about it. So I'm just like, LeBron's such an old man already.
He's a family man.
Well, he was like old when he came into the league. You know, he was already media savvy at 18, probably at 16. So yeah, he knows what to say. He's always going to know what to say. He's great at the sort of the role model bullshit.
Who do you think, just to wrap up the Knicks, even though that was just lovely talk, who do you think the second best player on the Knicks is?
KP. Dude, I'm so in on KP. I think he's going to be the best player on a title team at some stage. Imagine him in 5 years when he's got it all figured out.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Yeah, and he's a bit chunkier and he can use his body a little bit more. He's still so weedy.
Has anyone seen the brow this season? I mean, he looks like a man now. He's fucking huge. He's all grown into his body. Is he injured
again? He's definitely injured again.
Yeah, I know, but like, come on. He's huge. Hey, let's move into the most thrilling team of last season, the 76ers in the East. Can't go past the 76ers without giving Australia a little shout-out with Ben Simmons, number one draft pick. Everyone's pumped. He passes like LeBron. He's already getting shoe deals. He put on 30 kilos of weight, looking good, and then he broke his foot. So that's pretty shitty. But during preseason, everyone had a chance to finally see another fellow damaged footman. What's the big man?
Joel
Embiid, 7 foot tall, 250, you know, whatever he is. And he looks good.
He looks real good.
But the Simmons thing's pretty depressing. And I guess the conversation is, for me, are they trading someone before the season starts, Okafor or Noel? It looks like they're going all in Embiid. It's whether he can stay healthy or not. And it's heart destroying that Simmons isn't going to get a start for him and for fans. Are they going to be the last place team this season, Bag?
No.
Really? Who is?
I don't think so. I think they're going to be better than Brooklyn.
So that's
Brooklyn. You don't think they're going to be better than Brooklyn?
I can't answer that. Jeremy Lin's their best player. Yeah, you're probably right, dude.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not super confident, but I am confident that someone will get moved at some stage.
Yeah. Who do you think it will be? Like, do you think it's going to be a big?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a player?
They want it to be Okafor, but I just think you look at guys like Greg Monroe and Jefferson, and Vucevic, and guys like that, big guys that don't play any defense. It's like, it's very hard to get. I don't think they're really wanted commodity at this stage. What sort of a team would be like, oh, we really need like an Okafor type player to get us over the top? He's a bench guy already.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, why would you give up something of value for what really is he like a bench guy, honestly?
Rabbit, anything about the 76ers that is jumping out at you?
I just think Noel's the guy you got to move. He's shown the most talent last season, or the most productive. You could probably get more for him than you're going to get for Okafor, who's still pretty raw. It just depends what you're going for and what's available, though. They've kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit.
What are they trying to do?
Well, just win games. I mean, the whole Presti thing Hinky thing was pretty gross. Mm. And I'd be pissed if I was a Philly fan. Like, 3 years, 4 years, just stick with the process. You know, like, Simmons might be the answer to get them, you know, a little bit of hype, but it's still pretty gross in Philly.
Unlucky, but like when you put on 30 kilos,
you know. I don't reckon he did. It was 30 pounds, so what's that?
Oh, 30 pounds, sorry. When you put on 30 pounds, so let's say 15 kilos, aren't you more injury prone? I reckon
he did. Does he look like he'd notice if he put 30 pounds on? You know, you're just saying about Anthony Davis. I bet you he didn't put on 30 pounds.
Yeah, true.
I don't think he put on 30 pounds. I think it's bullshit.
What a bummer.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was anything like that. It's just unlucky. Don't forget, Man, Blake Griffin was like injured his whole rookie season. No one remembers that. Like he came back with a vengeance from that. I don't think it's a big deal.
And I guess you got to look on the bright side as well, that you get it. You are getting a bit more run for some guys that you might want to move. So if you you know, if you audition them well and say like Noel and Okafor have a really strong start to the season, then you know, at least their trade value might be higher than it is right now, especially for Okafor. Because you don't, I don't think you want to, you don't, you can't rely on Embiid to be your big guy of choice. That's why they got to have one of those guys as well, because otherwise you just got a ton of power forwards. They need one of them to be there just in case. But the rest of it is dog shit as well, though. I mean, you know, like Jared Bayless, he's the best point guard they've got. There's no starters. Awful. Like, who on this team is a starter in any position? Like, Noel would be the only one really that would start on another team out of this whole group right now, I reckon.
Yeah, Henderson's not.
Henderson's nice, but he's a backup for sure.
Yep. Stauskas.
Dario Saric. He's seeing a psychiatrist. Which,
you know, Elton Brand. Saric might do some stuff. He's Euro, you know, he's raw, he's fresh.
All right, well, I just want to ask one more question before we wrap up the first of a three-part podcast. I'm going to call it the FCP, the big question. Since we finished up on the 76ers, speaking of losers, I just wanted to ask, who do you think the first coach is in the NBA will be fired? Who's the first coach fired this season?
I reckon Fred Hoiberg in Chicago.
Good call. I love that call.
Yeah, or Jason Kidd. That's the other. They're the two I can think of.
Oh, how dare you? Nate McMillan, maybe?
Nate McMillan? He hasn't even coached one game yet.
I know, but I just think Larry Bird's like just in a like he's over it. He's not taking any prisoners this season, and I just don't know how, if he's actually any good. I don't really think he's very good at all. He wasn't good in Portland. He wasn't good in Seattle, and I don't think he's going to be up to Larry's. He's not going to be up to Larry's standard, I don't reckon. You got big shoes to fill if you're filling Vogel's shoes. So yeah, I'm not high on McMillan.
How about Kenny Atkinson?
What would Brooklyn's expectation for wins be like? 7?
I feel like they need somebody like a Doc or somebody who's going to be able to help and be part of the front office and like change the whole blah 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 there or something.
Nah, you need someone like Kurt Rambis or Fisher just to be a walking suit and do nothing with no expectations. That's what you need.
Just like they got Sean Marks. They got Sean Marks from San Antonio. He's the GM, and this is his first coaching hire. That guy's not going anywhere.
All right, that's about it for the first of a three-part podcast, FCP. Thanks for listening. We'll be back shortly with part 2. Thanks again.